This is KUT. As part of our AT Explained series, KUT's Moz Bouchel told us why grackles seem to always swarm supermarket parking lots at night, almost like they're taking over the place. In his reporting, Moz also came across a forgotten piece of Austin history, the War on Grackles, fought right here on the University of Texas campus decades ago. So, back with the second installment of his grackle story, here's Moz.
You know what happens when you leave your car under a tree of grackles? What your car looks like after a day or two? To hear John Burns tell it, there was a time when the University of Texas looked like that.
It was horrible, and the stench was almost unbearable.
Burns is a landscape services manager at UT. He says back in the 80s, about 50 hours of work a week was put towards cleaning up after the birds, more than a full-time job, and workers were losing the fight.
The salt levels from the droppings were getting so high that they were actually killing the grass and the shrubs.
He says they tried all kinds of tricks.
We tried rubber snakes.
They put them in the trees to scare the birds away.
We tried, it was a big balloon called a bird's eye, and it had a big eye. I mean, like the size of a person's head.
They'd float those around the trees also to scare the birds.
Those did nothing. We put fake owls out. They did nothing.
They pruned the trees way back to discourage roosting.
That was not good for the trees, so we didn't do that but a few times.
They tried playing sounds of distressed grackle calls.
We tried one product called, I think it was called Sticky Foot.
You'd spray the tree and it'd make it sticky.
And that worked to some degree, but it also made everything underneath the tree sticky. So it wasn't a good thing for us.
So, desperate times called for desperate measures.
So, yeah, I was just going to take a look and see what I have.
He still has the files in his office.
Here's one from 86. So this goes a ways back, 87.
On the Grackle Wars at UT Austin. The year was 1990. Jon Bon Jovi's Blaze of Glory went number one in the charts, and the UT landscaping crew put in an order for 15 shotguns. Burns still has a picture of the crew, a group of men posing, looking pretty tough.
We're all proud that we've got our shotguns in hand. It also has a picture of our equipment. We always wore a vest to let people know that we were out there for a reason, not just out there with a shotgun.
They divided the campus into 15 sections. The guns were loaded with blanks called shell crackers. It's illegal to kill grackles.
When we would fire the guns, it's just like a little ping, and it would shoot up above the tree, and then that louder part is way above the tree.
I found some video of people firing shell crackers online. So each man would be posted to his section of campus.
We would be there right before dusk. And as the birds started coming in, we'd shoot, and the shell would go up above the trees and explode.
And the birds would fly to another part of campus, where another guy with a gun was waiting.
And they shoot. And so it was like back and forth and back and forth. It was like, if you weren't shooting, you were hearing somebody else shoot. It was a pretty amazing sound to be in the middle of the city, in the middle of the university, and you're hearing these explosions all over.
Of course, there were some complications. Burns says UT police were supposed to notify Austin PD when the shoots were planned. Sometimes signals got crossed.
Some officers were a lot more understanding than others.
Members of the crew even had guns pulled on them.
Several times, guns pulled.
Then there were the students.
And we'd try to warn the ones that were near that we were getting ready to do it, but there's always one or two that they'd either hit the ground or take off running.
But for members of UT's grackle control crew, the important thing was it worked.
The first week that we used the shotguns, we realized we were going to have a chance.
They trained the grackles to to stay away from campus. After a few years, the crew had to take out their guns less and less often. Burns says later in the 90s, there were more complaints about the guns, but he thinks that's because the new students didn't know how bad things had been before.
It's really amazing how well it has worked. I don't know what we would do at this point if they came back in as hard as they were years ago, since we don't have the gun option anymore.
Times change. With terrorism and mass shootings always in the news, the university doesn't use shotguns to control birds anymore. Burns says the guns were sold, but he keeps a few things from the experience. The files on the Grackle War, which do include some thank you letters, a plaque awarded to him by the university for his service, and an abiding hatred of Grackles.
To this day, if there's some up in a tree, I'll clap real hard, which will scare them too. It usually hurts my hands, but I still clap because I like to see them fly. I like to just irritate them. I've seen the results of them being in an area, and yeah, it's not pretty. So if I can irritate a Grackle, I will.
So I couldn't help it. I wondered how Burns would respond to some Grackle poetry.
On March 1st, the Grackles opened like gates in the trees.
I played him one by James Brush. He's the writer who we heard from earlier in the HEB parking lot. This one was called March 1st.
What do you think?
Well, I thought it was an interesting description of the birds. It nails it pretty well.
Did it change your opinion of them at all, you think?
No, I don't think anything's ever going to change my opinion of Grackles.
But back at the parking lot, Pamela Gooby, the woman who sent us on this crazy Grackle journey, she'd given it some thought.
I guess I'm actually Grackle positive. As opposed to Grackle negative.
She says she likes their color, she likes watching them fly, and she likes the way they sound. So, if she needs to wash her car a little more often, so be it. Mose Bushell, KUT News.